Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
It takes an awful lot to rattle Donal Lenihan, who has seen it all in a decades-long career as a rugby player, manager, and now commentator. But when the moment came to name a player of the match against Argentina yesterday, events from the previous weekend were clearly playing on his mind. Against New Zealand, he went for Caelan Doris. He famously went for Caelan Doris, leading Hugh Cal in commentary to rejoice in Kieran Murphy's theory that Irish back rowers always get this award. So this time, he somehow picked out half slash fullback Joey Carberry in a match in which the backs failed to score any of the 7 tries, and he ignored Josh van der Vleer, who managed 2 tries all by himself, not to mention Doris, who capped off another barnstorming display with his own 5-pointer. So I'm here to tell you, Murph, you got to the great man.
Rent free, Ewan. Rent free.
Hey, Simon.
It actually was a back rower was banned in
the
match.
Yeah, like, come on. It's like Ireland against Argentina.
Doris and van der Vleer were ridiculous. Yeah.
I'm 100% comfortable with an Irish back rower winning man of the match against Argentina. You know, I mean, it's going to be pretty attritional. I understand the motivation there, but
the crowd have gone bananas here.
I'm sorry, I suppose, for having spooked so thoroughly one of Irish rugby's biggest characters. I mean, I apologise.
You should be apologising to all the back. You should be apologising to every current and future Irish back row who will never get an Man of the Match award as long as
they
Don
literally
Lennon
they don't have a chance. I mean, they could ring Jamie Heaslip's house. He's got about 300 of them.
And commiserations, Ciarán, I should say, on your championship final loss to Clontarf yesterday. If it's any,
you boys were both there.
We were there,
which I really, really appreciated. I have to say. It was very disappointing. Owen, but you know, what can you do? The answer to that question is to drink heavily. And that's what we did.
If it's any consolation, I answered a call from my mum just at the exact moment where you were kicking a point early in the first half. So she was greeted with, "Well done, Murph!" and thinks you're the great lad. She's like, "What the? Where are you? What's going on here?" Maybe she just thought we had done a really good podcast interview, and I was roaring my approval.
You know, one of the Clontarf players came up to me at the end of the game and shook my hand and said, "You calling us bastards really motivated us." And I wasn't in the headspace at the time to say, "Well, actually, it was Owen that called
me
bastards."
And it was lighthearted. We all know. A fine institution, Clontarf GA.
And they were, to be
worthy,
fair.
Worthy winners of the Junior Championship 2021.
My son said really he was up for Murph until he realised about 4 of his teachers were playing for Clontarf.
Wait, these guys are my baristas. They're my local baristas. There's like 2 baristas playing for
Clontarf. Oh, there's at least 2 baristas,
Well, listen, you know, we were beaten by the best. All we have are accountants. It was an unfair fight.
I believe you were drowning your sorrows with your Argentinian rugby brethren, Karen.
Very funny last night. So we were upstairs in Devitt's. On Camden Street, we were having a few pints, and I saw this like extremely, extremely burly gentleman very slowly making his way to the gents' bathroom. I was like, Jesus, that guy is big. Yeah, and you know, it's kind of a weird thing because like all of the Dublin football finals were on, like from senior all the way down this weekend. So, you know, there were a few teams out and about, particularly on Camden Street. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, Jude's. Bloody hell. This guy's like, how did they lose with this guy playing? And then I saw like quite a few people in Irish rugby jerseys going up and like theatrically showing this guy a red card. I was like, wait a minute, this is Lavanini. And it actually was Lavanini.
How did he take it?
He was extremely tolerant of all of this extremely annoying behavior that was going on around him. He was like having a big laugh with everyone. It was like fine. I mean, after the tongue lashing he got from Peter O'Mahony, I wouldn't have blamed him if he was a little short with any of the Irish fans giving him a stick over it. But
well, listen, at least Cian Healy still has a head attached to his shoulders just about. It was another great moment for the ref, Mike, though, as you alluded to there, after picking up Dane Coles last week having a pop at Johnny Sexton.
He's a man, can't he?
Wait, careful.
This time we were treated to Peter O'Mahony giving it loads to Lavanini after he had hurled himself into Cian Healy for the red.
Sense of purpose.
Fucking red.
Whoa.
Scumbag. You know exactly what you're doing.
Up and away.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Scumbag.
Hard man. Up and away.
Find yourself.
Up and away.
Some anger in there. And the referee needs to sort that out.
That's very unlike you.
Time off. Number six.
That's very unlike you. What's he talking about there, Si? Lavanini, by all accounts, has a bit of a rep.
Yeah, that's three red cards, the most ever by one player. He's also the most carded player in history when you throw in the yellows. He's only 28, so he could play for another 6-7 years, say, and really consolidate that number one spot. It's not just the cards. He's forever giving away penalties. He loses the cool, and he does really dangerous stuff like he did on
Sunday. And that's three reds, for Argentina, which is as many as some countries have in their entire history. We've got five reds ourselves, including O'Mahony himself, I should say, who was sent off against Wales. That could have been worth the mention. If Lavanini was of a mind to have a go back, he could have maybe had dug that out. But three reds just in international rugby alone is not great discipline.
You kind of wonder how good you have to be to keep getting picked when most of the time you're not actually on the pitch. Mm. But it was funny when O'Mahony was interviewed afterwards, it obviously hit him, oh, hang on, I got a red for clearing somebody out illegally at a ruck a few months ago, so I should probably cool it on the old the lecture.
It was extremely funny though when, and like he looked pretty remorseful from the minute he did it, Lavanini, to be honest. But when he went over to shake Cian Healy's hand, O'Mahony in the background giving him like the biggest side eye I've ever seen. It was extremely funny.
<That's right.
laughs> It's like, you just get off the field, you dope.
Yeah, I actually don't think Lavanini's in control of himself. He obviously doesn't want to do that, but I think it's just this red mist that comes over him because he's done it so often. Yeah. Really damaged his career, so he clearly it is not premeditated, but that doesn't make it any better.
I was telling him the same thing last night to no avail. So there's no talking to some people, you know.
Tomas, can I just say
I think you're a thundering disgrace.
Si, what did you make of the game? Ireland's win, obviously a different vibe to the New Zealand match. I think Dara O'Brien in commentary said it was, after all the emotion last week, it was a sense of satisfaction this time.
Yeah, just atmosphere not as good. You're not as excited about the opponents. It wasn't their best performance of the three, I thought. The ruck technique was a little bit off. Murray wasn't as snappy as Gibson Park and Casey were. But they did overcome the injuries to Conan, Henderson, Sexton, Gibson Park, and then James Ryan went off and still looked great in attack. Like, they had loads of things to cope with just before the game and as the game started, and still looked cohesive. I know they weren't great for the first 10-15 minutes, but they still did. They showed lots of ambition in attack. I absolutely love the Caelan Darris try. I kind of got greedy towards the end. I wanted the force to stop doing those maul pushover tries against 14 tired Argentinians because it sort of proved their point, you know.
I was kind of thinking, seven tries. We know our pack is brilliant, and they certainly proved it. But I'm thinking it'd be nice to move it out a little bit more. If we're getting really greedy here after scoring seven tries, a few more from the backs.
And I really want to see Lowe and Balakoon get more ball. Balakoon was just always close to being set free but never quite set free, and you could see the crowd really wanted to see him get more ball, but it felt like we weren't really preparing to face France and England, you know, by doing that, because you're not going to get those pushover tries the whole time against them.
But is that, and now we're back into, Jesus, the kind of stuff you normally say in the pool stages of a World Cup, but hiding a few plays up our sleeve rather than revealing too much?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. No, I think it was just the forwards going, hang on, we can absolutely pile it on here and we're not going to pass the ball out. We'll just get loads of tries. And maybe a scrum half and an out half not demanding as much as Sexton would. Carberry was great, though. I love that, you know, he started a little bit tentative and built into the game. And I just felt by the time he was taken off, he was feeling good about himself for the first time in literally 2 years. And Farrell touched on it afterwards. It's not the main part of his game. You don't think of Carberry this way, but his tackling was absolutely brilliant. I think it's a sign of how he's feeling about himself physically, because you need confidence to tackle like that as well. And he was tackling forwards. It wasn't just backs that he was doing that to. Just a good sign for him. And now no excuses, I think, for Munster to not get more out of Carberry. If you can play this well for Ireland, then you can play that well for Munster. And they need to... like, a lot of what I looked at over the last few weeks with Ireland, I was thinking about Munster and how they're not getting the best. Like, Peter O'Mahony was brilliant. I think Peter O'Mahony's a better player now than he was when he was 22. More awareness, better hands, understands the game better. He even said himself, this is his best 3 months, most enjoyable month of his career, which is quite something when he wasn't first choice. You know, he's coming on as a sub and still saying it's his most enjoyable month.
Yeah, well, the post-match messaging, as I say, I thought was interesting, because O'Mahony was talking about how you have to get... He was asked about the late changes and withdrawals and players coming up on the morning of the match and this kind of stuff. And he said, look, well, if you're a good team, you have to deal with that. And he said, no, if you're... He corrected himself. And he said, if you're striving to be a great team, which is what we're doing, then you have to be able to deal with that. And then I read the papers this morning, Ryan Baird, it says, everyone is buying in. We're not afraid to say we want to win the World Cup. And I'm thinking, no, there's no need to actually say it. You should talk about it amongst yourselves, but yeah. I don't know if we need 2 years of hearing Irish players say we're going to win a World Cup when I would take a place, I would bite your hand off for a place in the semi-final at this point.
For a fella who wasn't actually even in the squad until those late injuries, it's quite big talk. He's not the guy you necessarily want saying that if you are going to say it.
But it's clearly going on behind the scenes. I know people are talking, I don't know what Gary Keegan says, you know, Keegan's been a sports performance guy for years on the Irish scene in various sports, most notably boxing in the early days, and is really highly rated. Yep. So it could be him saying that you should be saying this publicly. I don't know. But
it does seem to be a theme, doesn't it?
Like
quite
this,
a few of them said, yeah, this is it, Sexton, obviously, before this whole thing even started. And maybe just lean into the whole thing instead of acting like you're a little bit scared of talking about it, which isn't the reality anyway. Like, obviously they're thinking about the World Cup. Why not say it? Let's try something different this time.
Last time, well, we did try that in 2007.
But didn't we try that in 2007?
Correct, Murph.
I think we've exhausted all the ways to talk about ourselves.
We're going back to the Rugby World Cup.
We've literally said everything. We've done everything. Except win a World Cup quarterfinal. That's everything. We've done everything else. So I don't know anything we say two years out from the actual event.
I don't think Ryan Baird saying this is going to improve or disimprove our chances.
There was a great moment when Baird made an unbelievable break and flew down the pitch, was eventually hauled in, and Donal Lennon said in co-commentary, unfortunately Balakoon just couldn't get there quick enough. And Balakoon is the fastest man in Irish rugby by all accounts, and he still couldn't reach Ryan Baird in time, which was just
isn't it crazy that we're at a point where that athlete in the forwards can't make the match day squad. Now, arguably he could be in it, but you know, the people ahead of him are absolutely brilliant. It's crazy the depth. Like, Dan Sheehan has only just come through this year. He was brilliant when he came on. And his throw, I don't know if anybody noticed his technique. I've heard a few hookers talk about it. Bernard Jackman has studies, you know, obviously line out technique and the throw in. And he says it's top notch, really, really good. When you add that to his size, his aggression, his defense was brilliant. He scores tries. He's ridiculous. Like, we haven't had this sort of depth in the forwards ever. Like, it might not be, say, the best eight ever. It could be the best eight ever. But in terms of depth and talent, it's undoubtedly the best eight we've ever had.
Yeah. Exciting times for Ireland. Exciting times for this hemisphere of ours, in particular with France beating New Zealand.
I've never been prouder to be a northern hemisphere.
if you're a rugby fan, you've probably seen Roman Entomac, the clip of him grabbing the ball in his own in-goal area with his back to the pitch, being hounded by a number of All Blacks, and deciding the best course of action was to turn around, sprint past all those lads before releasing his fullback, who then gives the ball to Dupont, who then takes it right up to the New Zealand 22 in a move of breathtaking skill and ambition. But have you heard that move with French commentary attached?
Antoine Dupont, Romain Tamac qui revient. Est-ce qu'il a ramené ce ballon dans son but? Et il relance.
Bien, Romain.
Allez, accélérant. Allez, Romain. Romain. Oh oui, formidable avec Jaminet.
terminé. Il y a un coup à jouer parce que qui est là? Le ministre de l'Intérieur, évidemment, Antoine Dupont, au soutien. Allez, de suite, de suite, de suite, de l'autre côté d'abord. Là, il y a du bon.
Oh, they never let you down.
I love everything about that.
Does he I texted you one word, Simon, when I was watching it. Just enter Mac. Like, yeah. The guy is just, like, box office. Like, that was... Yeah. It was... to be honest, I only saw the last half hour live, but watching it live was hilarious. Like, just so brilliant. So unbelievably good. And obviously the Stade de France going completely insane.
Yeah. Like, forget about beating France in France if they're in this form. I include Ireland, England, South Africa, anybody in that. Forget about it. Like, they mainline that sort of adrenaline and passion combined with... Their forwards are disgustingly big and powerful and fast now, like better again than even last year. They're so young. They're so confident. Entomac, I think they have to decide now. He's probably the out half. And just to put into context where in the game that came from. So France were like 16, 18 points up maybe at halftime. Yeah. Anyway,
the biggest halftime deficit that New Zealand have ever had.
That's right. Yeah. And then they go from that to New Zealand doing their usual like three quick tries in a row. Looking like they're right back in it, 2 points down to France, but had just kicked the ball with like three or four flying New Zealanders chasing it down. Entomac behind his own line, as he said, really fast New Zealanders on his tail. Beats them with the sort of not trying too hard, you know, that kind of really fast, but not trying to sprint.
He rounded Jordy Barrett like he was, you know, like a prop. It was hilarious. Right, just like, actually, you know, I couldn't be bothered kicking this over your head. I'm just going to go around you if that's cool with you.
And then the pass, his body and mind are so relaxed for the pass. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy the position he was in, the position the game was in, that moment, what he'd just done, and for his mind and body to just go, I'm going to flip the laziest, most perfect-looking pass to the winger. From that point on, they didn't score a try, but they got, it was a yellow card to Ardie Savea as New Zealand desperately tried to keep them out. They got 3 points and then they got an intercept. They just never looked back from that point. So it wasn't just a moment of genius. It changed the whole game.
Yeah, it wasn't a showbiz moment. It was actually the winning of the game. Yeah. It's just a pity he doesn't look more French.
He is now he's the king of effortless rugby players now, or making really difficult things look effortless.
I just like
he's box office. He's brilliant.
I like the fact that the commentator, I think, called Antoine Dupont le ministère de l'intérieur.
Le ministre de l'intérieur, évidemment, Antoine Dupont.
There's my French.
They're the best commentators.
Brilliant. Okay, that's it for this. We're going to talk more in our full podcast tomorrow about the new Northern Hemisphere dominance and if there's any way back for the likes.
Can
of
I
New
just
Zealand.
Say who the out halves are going to be in the Northern Hemisphere next year? Marcus Smith. I don't know if you watched him at the weekend for England. Brilliant. Did similar stuff to Entomac, actually. Entomac, obviously, a rejuvenated Sexton and Finn Russell. And Wales, whoever the Wales go for, Dan Biggar. Old news, Dan Biggar.
Our Solskjaer podcast is out now for everyone. We've got Rugby Tomorrow, Champions League through the week, exclusively for members, and loads more going on. SecondCaptains.com. It's only a €5 a month plus a little bit of VAT, depending whereabouts in the world you're listening from. In the meantime, I know many of you have fond memories of the Isolating podcast on the Second Captain's World Service, and you'll remember that our isolator-in-chief, David O'Doherty, is never happier than when he's on his bicycle cycling around some beautiful countryside. Well, tonight on Channel 4, you can watch him do just that in the first episode of his brand new television show, you guys. It's called Along for the Ride. David cycles around some of the most scenic routes in the UK in the company of a fellow comedian each week. The Guardian, Murph, describes the series as bliss, and O'Doherty has reported that his calves are in rock-hard condition. So what more can you want?
He's very excited. We're very excited. Let's do this. What time is it on? What channel is it on again?
Channel That's
4. 10 o'clock on Channel 10 4. Channel I'm 4. Doing the radio ad thing again. Yeah. So tell me again. It's 10 o'clock, Channel 4. David O'Doherty. Excellent.
That's all happening. Thanks, Murph. Thanks, Ken. No, Ken's not here. As discussed in our football podcast, Ken is on holidays. It just as the Solskjaer news breaks. But there you go. Thanks, Simon.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Romana Entomac. Thank you, rugby.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.